everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you here on episode 3 this week. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've got a couple more that will drop on the feed this week, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. We are available on all of those platforms as well as LockedOnEagles.com. If you missed our past two shows this week, we talked about the loss of Jatavis Brown, who retired from the NFL, the Eagles linebacker they signed in free agency, a 26-year-old explosive player that had a really good run there with the Chargers for three seasons before playing his way out of the lineup last year. The Eagles signed him to a cheap deal, hopefully thinking he can be a piece of the puzzle long-term at linebacker, which is a position that I think is the thinnest on the team. So we got into what him retiring means for that position in 2020 and moving forward in the future. And then on Tuesday, I talked about what happens if there's no college football at all. Obviously, the Pac-12 has canceled their season. The Big Ten has canceled their season. The ACC, the Big 12, they say they're going to play. But what happens if there's no college football at all this year? How will that impact the Eagles? How will that impact the NFL and also in college sports? I know I kind of rehashed the traditional old college sports debate, but I think this COVID-19 pandemic really brings it back into the forefront. It shines a light on it once again, and hopefully this can really cause some real change in college sports. So those are the two podcasts that I dropped already this week on Monday and Tuesday. Again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast because you're going to get 4 to 6 episodes downloaded into your phone a week. And today is a fun one because we're going to hear from you guys, the listeners. Today is the first mailbag episode since the 2019 regular season. I wanted to hear from you guys. Doug Peterson is back at the NovaCare Complex. He is running training camp in person, so the Eagles have their head coach back. Monday starts padded practice with live contact, so the season's starting up very soon. We have about, a month away before the Eagles kick off the regular season. The preseason was supposed to start today, actually. We could have been previewing an Eagles preseason game today if it wasn't for this damn pandemic. So it's coming very soon. And so I wanted to hear what your guys' questions are with training camp rolling around, what you want to know about the position battles, and just about the roster in general as we move forward here with a not a brand new roster, not a brand new team. It's a lot of the same core pieces, but there are a lot of new role players. There are a lot of new veteran stars they brought in, like Javon Hargrave and Darius Slay, and hopefully Jalen Reagor becomes that. You drafted him in the first round. So this is it's not a rebuild, but it's definitely a retooled team moving forward here coming up in the fall. So let's just dive right into it. I want to hear from you guys, the listeners, and this isn't going to be our only mailbag. We're going to do this consistently throughout the year, so make sure you follow us on Twitter, and you can get your voice heard. If you send in a question, I'm going to talk about it on the show. Follow us at Lockdown Birds, and my private account is at DiBiase, LOE, where I'm always talking birds after the show. And you can always ask Gino Camilleri a question as well on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Gino will be back next week. He's making the move to Colorado, actually, with his fiance and his two doodle pups. So he's getting all of that situated right now before the season starts. So we will, don't worry, it's not just going to be me rambling for, 15 to 40 minutes every single day. I know it's been me riding solo for most of the last month or month and a half. You've had Lars and Gino sprinkled in, but Gino's getting things situated, and then he will be back for the regular season. He'll probably be back next week, so make sure you bother him on Twitter, though, right now. He's always got his phone on, at Gino_LOE. All right, let's get into some questions. Let's get into the mailbag, and we're going to start here with my good friend Khaled Ahmed, who writes in, which players on the bubble will get an actual chance at making the roster, and who could win a starting job versus the favorites with no preseason? And he says he really likes Eagles rookie running back out of UCF, Adrian Killens. Fair point. I agree here. Although the Eagles have built their roster, their supporting cast, you have like that core, right? All those veteran star players. Carson Wentz, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelsey, Brandon Brooks before he got hurt, Zach Ertz, on defense, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Darius Slay you brought in. But for the most part, the supporting cast is fairly young. I don't want to say inexperienced, but, it's cornerback two. It's Avante Maddox, Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas at safety. Malcolm Jenkins is gone. Next to Roddy McLeod, it's Jalen Mills. It's rookie in Kayvon Wallace, and it's a young player in Will Parks. And the offensive line, they built their depth through young, inexpensive players. Same with the receiving core. So while they built this team kind of young right now and more upside based, I mean, just look at linebacker, right? Nate Geary is the most seasoned veteran they have. It's Davian Taylor, it's Duke Riley, it's second year TJ Edwards, who was undrafted last year. So that they've kind of built their roster that way. So I think a lot of young players are going to create roles for themselves this year, because that's moving forward the way I think the Eagles are going to construct this roster with the cap hits that they're going to take on next year. However, I will say it's a fair point that inexperienced, late round, undrafted players are at a disadvantage, not just on the Eagles in 2020, but the NFL in general, because, you know, if you're a guy on the bubble, or if you're someone that's battling for a starting job, but let's say you're not the favorite, right? Like, let's say you're Sidney Jones. Do you have a real shot at becoming the CB2 over Avante Maddox? Are you going to get enough opportunities where right now this team believes Maddox is best for the job? Can Sidney Jones change their minds just through training camp practice? I know live hitting is going to start on Monday, but not having four preseason games, like, that's huge. I mean, you go back to 2017, I look at the running back position. Corey Clement was not seen as somebody that was going to make the roster, undrafted out of Wisconsin. The focus that year was all about rookie running back Donnell Pumphrey, who they took in the fourth round. Corey Clement kills it in the preseason, and the Eagles had to rethink things. They're going to say, hey, Corey Clement's got to make this roster, and look what ended up happening. That guy ended up having 100 receiving yards in the Super Bowl for you. So it does suck that there's no preseason. It is going to hurt the guys on the bubble, like an Adrian Killens. He's kind of a long-term project that I don't think makes this roster, even though that dude can absolutely just fly. He can flat-out run. I mean, this is a kid that's really good as a returner, both punt returning and kick returning at UCF, but there's too much work to be done for a guy like that. The path to the 53 is just too long in this type of training camp format, this kind of, you know, summer activity format. So yeah, I do agree. I think it's going to be, for guys in the bubble, it's going to be tough. And for guys that are not favorites to win the jobs, like Sidney Jones at CB2, Jalen Hurts battling with Nate Sudfeld for the backup position. Those are going to be spots that are tough to win over right now. Like Davian Taylor, even at linebacker, Jatavis Brown retires. That kind of opens up a window of opportunity for him. But with no, I mean, this is a guy that's seen as a long-term project, a guy that has a ton of upside, but also a pretty low floor. He's not going to have a ton of opportunities to convince Jim Schwartz that, hey, you should play me, at least not until the regular season, that, hey, you should play me over Nate Geary, over TJ Edwards, guys that have had starting experience already on this football team. But let's answer the question, though. Who actually has a real chance? Guys on the bubble, non-favorites battling for starting jobs. I think guys in the bubble that should probably earn a spot. I think you look at Michael Warren, the second, who is the Eagles' undrafted rookie running back out of Cincinnati. I think he has a real chance at being the fourth running back kept if they keep four running backs. Doug Peterson, the last couple years, has kept four running backs since 2017. So Warren has a shot. I mean, they did not bring a veteran back in like LeSean McCoy, Devonta Freeman, Carlos Hyde. So after Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Corey Clement, the Eagles, it's kind of all fair game. It's between just a bunch of players that have done nothing on the NFL level. Two of them are rookies, right? Adrian Killens, Michael Warren, and then Elijah Holyfield, who the Eagles signed last year. He was a rookie out of Georgia. He is the son of Evander Holyfield, actually. We had a boxing question later that pertains to the Eagles, actually, that involves Holyfield, so we'll get into that later. But Warren, like, that's a wide-open spot, and that's why maybe Killens could make the roster, but I think Warren is more pro-ready right now. He's somebody that the Eagles could probably actually use at running back, not just on special teams. And he presents this power upside, this power kind of style to him that the Eagles really don't have without Jordan Howard. And it's a type of running back the Eagles have liked the past few years, right? You know, Josh Adams was supposed to be like that, but he didn't play that way. But before that, it was, you know, LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. So I think Michael Warren could make this roster, even though guys that have already been in-house are going to have the advantage. Holyfield is also a power back that has been with the team now for a half a year, so he's going to have the advantage. But I do think this team really thinks highly of Michael Warren. Deuce Staley talked him up a lot during his press conference last week, so I think he has a real chance of being RB4. And then you look at the wide receiver position, guys that aren't favorites to win the starting job, but could, like, you look at Greg Ward, a guy that Doug Peterson talked about yesterday. as someone he said is in the starting mix. And I think right now, although I believe Greg Ward is the guy ready to step up right away and produce the most for you as that third receiver, you know, behind DeSean Jackson and Jalen Reagor, I do think second-round rookie last year, who's a second-year pro now, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he is going to have the upper hand. He's going to have the advantage. He's going to get every opportunity to win that job next to DeSean and Jalen because, again, you invested a second-round pick in this kid. You got to see what he can do, especially with Alshon Jeffrey on the PUP list likely for the first 6 weeks of the season. You got to see what J-Jaw can do. But I will say Greg Ward has a real shot. If Arcega-Whiteside comes in here, and you know we don't really know what's going on at training camp right now since it's closed off to the media, but J.J., for all we know, could be this bust that we saw last year. He's terrible. He can't create any sort of separation now with an improved Eagles secondary. He's still having bad drops, and he's just not improving enough to where the Eagles are confident in playing him in 2020. So then you here comes Greg Ward that steps up, a guy that made huge plays for you last year on third down. You know, the game-winning touchdown against the Redskins. Down the stretch, like in the most important games of the year, when you had not a single receiver that can make a play for Carson Wentz. Nelson Agholor is dropping game-winning touchdowns. So is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Nobody's creating separation. Nobody's breaking tackles and getting you extra chunk yardage after the catch. Greg Ward provided that, which is an awesome story. This is a former quarterback out of the University of Houston that sat on the Eagles practice squad for years, that continuously got passed over for the likes of, you know, Mac Hollins and Marcus Johnson and Jordan Matthews twice. They brought him back in 2018 and in 2019. And here he was, you know, this kid down the stretch. He was on pace over a 16-game stretch. He would have been on pace to surpass 1,000 receiving yards. So I do think he has a real chance at being one of the three starting receivers next to DeSean Jackson and Jalen Reagor. He's not a favorite, but that is somebody that clearly Doug Peterson has confidence in, Carson Wentz has confidence in, this team has confidence in to make plays, especially in the most important games of the year. So I do think Greg Ward is a shot at winning a starting job. I would love to say I think John Hightower and Quez Watkins do as well at wide receiver, and I think they would. If there was a preseason, I would probably even predict that one of them wins the job. That's how high I am on these two rookie receivers the Eagles drafted in the fifth and sixth round. John Hightower out of Boise State, Quez Watkins out of Southern Mississippi. You guys have heard me talk about them all the time. I would say they had a real chance. They're both going to make the roster initially. So, you know, they're kind of on the bubble and they'll make the roster. But I don't think they're going to have a real chance at the starting job with wide receiver three. That's going to be between, I think, Greg Ward and J-Jaw. Also, Grayson Arnold, the undrafted safety out of Baylor, I think he can get a spot at safety. If they're going to use a lot of defensive backs this year, if they're going to use mostly nickel and dime packages where there's maybe two linebackers out there sometimes. Maybe there's times where it's four defensive linemen and it's seven defensive backs, right? Kind of like the Chargers did in 2018. They're just going to go DB heavy. You're going to need to have a lot of them on your roster, right? We've seen the injuries this team has dealt with since 2017, since they won the Super Bowl. And with no Jatavis Brown, who retired, that's going to open up a spot on the depth chart. My depth chart predictions, I did not have Grayson Arnold making this team, but no Jatavis Brown, that opens up a spot. And instead of taking an extra linebacker here, I actually think the Eagles would keep another safety. All right, let's move on to the next question from Matthew Atta, who writes in, would it be better long-term to move, and I'm sorry if I botched your name, Matt. I know you tweet me all the time. Ada? Matthew Ada? I'm going to go with Matthew Ada. Would it be better long-term to move Isaac Seumalo to right guard and Jason Peters to left guard? I don't think so. Brandon Brooks is going to come back at right guard at some point. I don't know if it's going to be this year, right? He tore his Achilles. So that's still your long-term piece there. You just signed Brandon Brooks to a 4-year contract extension. Brooks is your guy at right guard. Unless he's just a shell of himself and he's not even close to where he was at with the second Achilles tear, which could happen, but this is a physical nightmare. I mean, this dude is just, like, it's incredible how he recovers from these kind of injuries and was still last year. Remember, he tore his Achilles in the 2018 divisional round against the New Orleans Saints, and he came back in 2019, to me, as the best offensive lineman in football. And Pro Football Focus agrees. So he's going to come back. So no, I don't say moving Isaac Seumalo to right guard is a smart long-term plan. Sayamalu's future is at either left guard or maybe it's at center when Jason Kelce retires. But regardless, it's not at right guard. So you'd rather have Jason Peters, who's going on 40 years old now, who's moving positions this year. You're going to want JP sandwiched in between Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, right? You're going to want, although I do agree, I get the logic from Andre Dillard's standpoint. It would be great to have the second year new starting left tackle. It would be great to have Jason Peters right next to him. I think that would really help communication-wise. JP is one of the best left tackles in NFL history, a first ballot Hall of Famer. It would be great for Dillard's long-term development, but I think when we're talking about just Sayamalu in general, no, you keep Sayamalu at left guard where he played at an extremely high level the past couple years. I think the Eagles have it right now with the way they have their offensive line constructed. That left side's going to be interesting. Those are the young guys, right? You've got three potential Hall of Famers on the right side: Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, and Jason Kelce. I mean, that is just stacked with Hall of Fame elite talent. And then on the left side, it's the young guys. It's Andre Dillard and it's Isaac Sayamalu. It'll be fun to see their chemistry grow. I thought they got a lot better last year in the middle of the season together, you know, week after week when Jason Peters went down. Louis DiBiase here joining you on the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's a mailbag edition of the show. Again, if you missed this week's mailbag, be sure to tweet at us at Locked On Birds or at DiBiase LOE. We're going to do a bunch of these when the season does roll around. But we've got a bunch more questions coming up. One of my good friends on Twitter, Dennis Sikorsky, posed a very interesting question about the Eagles' tight end position, which is very timely considering San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle just signed the biggest contract in NFL history for a tight end this morning. So that definitely lines up with what we're going to talk about with the future of Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. So don't go anywhere. This is Louis DiBiase on Locked On Eagles. And guys, we are brought to you today by RockAuto.com. You have computers with access to Rock Auto at home and in your pocket. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Let's continue to get into this mailbag edition of the show. So we've got a guy overseas. I think he's in Germany. I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Dennis Sikorsky, who tweets at us all the time. Shout out to you, Dennis. Great listener of the podcast. He asked a very interesting question that I wanted to do an entire podcast on anyway, and I think today it's perfect to get into it because, as you heard me at the end of segment one, George Kittle, the San Francisco 49ers elite all-pro tight end, signed a big contract today, extension worth $75 million. So that's annual. It's going to be $15 million a year. So that's almost what, top wide receiver money? That's kind of what's happening now at tight end nowadays. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Zach Ertz, even if it's not with the Eagles, they're going to get paid like wide receivers. And Dennis writes in, looking at our tight end situation, how do you feel about Zach Ertz? Does he finish his career with the Eagles? Does Dallas Goedert get a second contract, or will he get traded to be a tight end one on another team? This situation is fascinating for the Eagles. It's fascinating what they're going to do here over the next couple years. Right now, obviously, their tight end situation is the best in football. You have an elite all-pro. He's going to end up being, I think, when it's all said and done, the Eagles' all-time leading receiver. I mean, this is Zach Ertz, right? Obviously, you want to keep that player. And they tried to sign him last year to an extension, so he clearly is a priority. But you also have a kid in Dallas Goedert who is 4 years younger. He's only 25 years old. He's coming off a huge season in his own right. As a second tight end last year, he surpassed 600 receiving yards. The future with what they're going to do here, with what Howie Roseman has to decide, is super interesting. Again, obviously, an elite top, not just tight end, but a top passing target in the league, that is Zach Ertz. That's clutch, as clutch can be, right? a 4th-and-1 conversion in the Super Bowl on the game-winning drive. Then he catches the game-winning touchdown to give the Eagles their first Lombardi trophy ever. This is a legend in Eagles history. You obviously want to keep that player that has insane chemistry with your quarterback, that is like your quarterback's go-to player. When he's in doubt, when he's scrambling around, he's looking for Zach Ertz. So you obviously want that guy still in house. Last year, when the receiver position is just crumbling, Zach Ertz, but also Dallas Goedert, like, they picked up your offensive production through the air in that final month and a half of the season. But again, you see George Kittle just sign this $15 million a year contract. And so you know Zach Ertz last year already turned down an extension offer from the Eagles. So he's clearly thinking top dollar. He knew waiting is going to help his value. It's going to help the tight end market more than signing a deal early. And that's why I think the Eagles tried to get ahead of this, right? They probably tried to sign Zach Ertz early so they weren't going to have to pay him north now of $15 million. And Travis Kelce, let's say he's the next shoe to drop, that's going to increase the value even more. It's the same logic with paying quarterbacks. It's why I think the Dallas Cowboys are nuts for not trying to get this Dak Prescott deal done, because as each quarterback gets a new deal, Dak Prescott, these players are going to say, I'm just as good as that guy. I want that contract, if not more. So the value just keeps going up and up and up. And it's the same thing here with tight end. And it makes me think, because let me preface this with, I want Zach Ertz on this team. I think he's going to age really well. You know, even when he's a free agent in 2022, he's going to be, what, 31 years old. But this is not a guy that relies on run after the catch ability, explosive plays. So I think he's going to be somebody that can produce the way he produces, the style of receiver that he is. He'll be able to do this for a long time. I mean, he can be like Tony Gonzalez with the Atlanta Falcons, where he's late into his 30s and he can still make plays for you. Because I think, again, he's not going to need, even if he loses speed and athleticism, that's not really his forte anyway. So again, I want him long term here, but there's just, it's not that simple. The Eagles' salary cap situation is tight. Right now, they're going to have the second most money over the cap next year at $67 million, I believe. Don't quote me on that. It's roughly over $60 million. So they're not going to have a lot of money to spend anyway. They're going to have to make cuts next year. And not just on top of that, like, the money itself is something that has to make you think. Like, do we want to give this guy a giant historic contract? Especially, though, like, I would still do it. And I'm not saying I don't want to do it, but I would be even more inclined to do it if you didn't have a young, potential other top-tier tight end in Dallas Goedert that also is going to need a new contract in 2 years. These guys are both set to be free agents in 2022. That's right now, again, I know Zach Ertz is the priority right now, and he should be. Zach Ertz right now is a top three tight end. He's one of the best route runners in football. He's one of the most relying passing targets in the league. But in 2 years, is that still going to be the case? Is the gap between Ertz and Goddard going to be so significant that you pay Ertz a substantial amount of money compared to what Goddard will get? And you have to ask the question, maybe they want to keep both, right? Maybe they're saying, we're going to pay Ertz now and we're going to try to pay Goddard down the line. Is Dallas Goedert going to want to stay in 2022 if Ertz is still here? Is he still going to want to be, you know, he's not a backup because the Eagles use 12 personnel, you know, more than half the time. But that's something Goddard's going to have to think about. Does he want to stay here long term if Zach Ertz at 31 years old? Again, Ertz could probably play another 6 years there. Does Goddard want to play his entire career as a second fiddle to Ertz? He already said last year, Dallas Goedert said he thinks he's a top tight end in the league. I think he is. I agree. Receiving, run after the catch ability, also blocking. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league already, and he's only been in the league for 2 years. So that's something Goddard needs to think about as well. Does he want to play second fiddle to Ertz long term? And I'm not, and especially you got to consider, yeah, the Eagles have used 12 personnel a ton the past couple years. That's not always going to be the case. Doug Peterson wants to use three receivers on the field. He just hasn't had the personnel to do it. It's the same thing with a workhorse running back. He's been using running back by committee by necessity. Now that he has a guy like Miles Sanders, that dude's going to take up, I think, more than 70% of the touches in the backfield. I think it's the same thing with 12 personnel versus 11 personnel. I think you use 12, of course, yeah, because you have two top tight ends. But if Jalen Reagor becomes a star, if DeSean Jackson stays healthy and he's still one of the best deep threats in football, if not the best deep threat in football. Let's say J.J. Arcega-Whiteside does become that guy you saw out of Stanford, or let's say John Hightower, Quez Watkins, or Alshon Jeffrey comes back and they give you that production. They're going to, again, look at 2017, the last time they had three solid receivers, or the end of 2018 with Golden Tate. So Golden Tate and Torrey Smith, and then you had Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey those 2 years. They wanted to be an 11 personnel-centric team. It's the same thing at the end of the year last year. They didn't want to be a 22, 21 personnel team using two running backs and three tight ends. They don't want to be Iowa. They don't want to be an Iowa offense. So Goddard's got to consider that too. The role for him right now is big, even with Ertz on the field. That might not always be the case. So, and then for the Eagles, again, do you want Dallas Goedert to walk? A guy that's 4 years younger, is the gap when it comes to 2022, is the gap going to be so substantial between these two that you pay Ertz a deal over $15 million a year and you let Dallas Goedert walk? That's where I'm hesitant. That's where I have to, at least this is a question. It's not a foregone conclusion. You pay Zach Ertz no matter what. This is a conversation that this team, I'm sure, has had and needs to have. And I know they've already offered him a deal, so it shows where their priorities lie. But I just think the further and further we get down the road without an extension, that mindset could change. Because again, Goddard down the stretch last year was incredible. And he's a more dynamic player too. He makes more plays down the field, run after the catch. The Eagles loved to use him last year in the screen game. He's way more similar to George Kittle and Travis Kelce than Zach Ertz is. So, and again, that was only year two. A kid out of South Dakota. I mean, again, I think the Eagles are hoping to keep both. And again, Ertz is the kind of player that will age well. But I don't know if I'd rush a new deal with Ertz. He'll be a free agent the same time as Goddard. I would wait and see where these two are at by that point. And I know that's risky because you don't want to risk losing one of them for nothing. And if one is unhappy with this, maybe you trade one. You can get, I'm sure, a lot back for Zach Ertz or for Dallas Goedert. But I want these two here for the next couple years. They need them with the unknown at receiver. You have no idea what you have in all these young guys. And DeSean Jackson's coming off, you know, he's 34 years old, and he's coming off the biggest injury of his career. So you're going to want to have these two tight ends as safety blankets for Carson Wentz. Because again, if a situation, a scenario plays out like the end of last year, you're going to need Goddard. You're going to need Zach Ertz. It's a fascinating discussion. It's a really interesting situation. I think the Eagles want to keep both. I think right now the priority is Zach Ertz. I agree with that assessment. I just would preach patience because I think in a couple years, it's not that I think low of Zach Ertz, obviously. Again, I called him a Hall of Fame Eagles legend that could, by when it's all said and done, surpass Harold Carmichael for the most Eagles receiving yards, receptions, maybe even touchdowns in franchise history. It's more of a compliment to Dallas Goedert. I think already, after 2 years, I think Goddard is better than where Zach Ertz was at after 2 years. So it's just, I think Goddard's going to be a star too, and he's going to be 4 years younger. So it's a fascinating discussion. Thanks, Dennis, for asking that question because it's something I really wanted to get into. Louis DiBiase here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We got to hit one more break and we'll come back next and wrap it up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, let's wrap up this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform. We churn out more Eagles podcasts than any podcast you're going to find, 4 to 6 a week, downloaded into your phone. Let's get into more questions here as we continue our mailbag episode. Zach Myers, another one of our consistent listeners. Shout out to you, Zach, always hitting us up on Twitter. He writes in an absolute gem of a question. This is a more fun one that doesn't really pertain to the season, but it is fun. If the Eagles held an inter-squad heavyweight boxing tournament. Oh, and he did say heavyweight. Okay, so that answers part of this. What would be the championship matchup and result? Where would Elijah Holyfield finish? Again, the son of Evander Holyfield, the famous boxer. The guy that, for you guys that don't know, the one that Mike Tyson bit part of his ear off. This is a great question. I think Holyfield would certainly be a favorite, obviously. I don't want to be in a ring with Jason Peters, even at 40 years old. Ask Chris Baker what he thinks of Jason Peters as a fighter. Remember, 2014, Baker cheap shots Nick Foles. Peters just goes after him on the sidelines. He's nicknamed the bodyguard for a reason. I think JP would certainly be a favorite. Really, any of the offensive linemen. Brandon Brooks does a lot of MMA in the offseason. Fletcher Cox. Don't want to take a Javon Hargrave. I mean, holy cow. I would say yeah, Holyfield would certainly be up there. But again, would he be in that weight class? I mean, you have to think about weight classes. Holyfield's not going to be able to fight Jason Peters or Lane Johnson. So in Holyfield's weight class, yeah, he'd probably be the favorite. Who else would even be in that one? Michael Warren, the tight ends, maybe Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Rasul Douglas. He's got that length. I don't know. Rasul might be a tough stop. And then the lightweight, the featherweight division, DeSean Jackson, Boston Scott. It's an interesting question for sure. I think Holyfield would certainly be a favorite. I'm telling you, though, don't get in a ring with Jason Peters. That was a fun question, though. Thanks, Zach, for checking that out. All right, we have one more. Gino actually asked answered this question on Twitter. It comes from our good friend Tony B over in Scotland. Yeah, we have a lot of listeners here across the globe. Eagles fans are everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, and Tony's one of our favorite listeners. And this is like a soccer and football question. Gino, obviously, big EPL guy, big English Premier League watch viewer. So Tony asks, you can choose, Gino, adopt the soccer world of transfers and no salary cap into the NFL, or adopt the draft and salary cap into soccer. Which one would you do? How would that damage your beloved city? So I wanted to read this one because Tony, I wanted to give him a shout out on the podcast. Again, it's so cool that he listens from Scotland. Gino writes in 100% transfers into American football. I think a cap in soccer would be crazy. There are enough upsets in soccer that I don't think a cap is necessary, but having a transfer market in American football would be awesome if there was a chance to loan a PS player to another team. So that was a fun question. So we finished the show with a couple interesting, unique ones that really don't pertain to the Eagles 2020 season, but nonetheless, it's fun to entertain those. So again, we're going to continue to do these mailbags throughout the season, so make sure you follow us on Twitter and make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you leave us a 5-star rate, and if you know you want to ask a question in the review, that'll not only help us grow the show, but then we can answer that question when we do these again down the road. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.